Man, I can't believe how fast this night is going. Another hour to go here of Ghost to Ghost, so get ready with your calls. We'll be right back.
It's Fiona Horn, your friendly witch, and this is my ghost story. 4 years ago, I moved to house sit, big mansion in the Hollywood Hills. Now, although it was so big, I was never scared. I was living there alone, but I always felt very safe. I wasn't even scared one night when I was watching TV, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a man standing on the staircase, looking at me. He had a white dinner jacket on, dark hair parted low across his forehead. But I wasn't scared. He just watched me. I watched TV, and that was that. After that, I continued to see him more frequently around the house, and it was unusual. And I was talking to a neighbour about who'd actually lived in the area quite some time, and I said, "Do you know anything about the history of the mansion that I'm looking after?" And he told me that he knew a lot about it, that it was actually built by an actor named George Montgomery in the late 60s. And George was famous for a lot of Western movies and things in his time, was married to Dinah Shore. He built the house with his own bare hands. He loved the house. And he even made the house available to Roman Polanski. When Roman Polanski, the famous director, was making Chinatown in the early 70s, he lived there, and Faye Dunaway and Jack Nicholson used to party there. The house has an amazing history. So my friend, my neighbour, showed me a book that he had as we were finishing the evening, and he said, "Take a look at this." And it was a book about George's life, and I was flicking through the pages looking at the photographs, and one stood out. And it was a photograph of a man in a white dinner jacket with dark hair parted low across his forehead. And I knew it was George, my man, my ghostly companion, was George Montgomery, who had passed away probably about 5 years before I moved into the house. So after that, I continued to see George around the house, and we always had a pleasant kind of connection. I always felt safe, even when I was alone there late at night, until the time that I decided to move out. It was time to move on. And I gradually was packing up my things over a week, but I sensed a different energy in the house. I didn't see George. I just felt this dark presence. And it was my final night at the house, and I was laying in bed. I fell asleep early. I fell into a very deep sleep. And then I just, at about 5 a.m., sat bolt upright, wide awake. There was someone in the house. I could hear banging and like someone was hitting the walls above me. It was a two-story house. My bedroom was on the lower level, and someone was hitting the walls, and there was furniture moving around. It was loud, and I was like, "Oh, my gosh, there is an intruder in the house. I've got to call the police." But then I got really scared, and I thought, what if I call the police and they see that I'm picking up the phone and they hear me and they'll come down? And I was so terrified, frozen, sitting there 10 minutes of this noise of people or someone banging and hitting things. And then it occurred to me, and I spoke out aloud, and I said, "George, I'm sorry I'm leaving. I'll miss you." And there was silence, complete silence. And so it was George letting me know that he didn't want me to go. And I did have to move out of the house. My time there looking after it was done. But funnily enough, I'm not that far away from George. I moved into another home two doors down from in another Hollywood Hills mansion. And very unusual circumstances as to how that happened, and very much good fortune. But I think George had a hand in it. I think he wanted to keep me around. And that's my ghost story. Happy Halloween.
Fiona Horn. By the way, Fiona will be one of our guests during the sci-fi show during the week of November 16th. Let's go on now. Tim in Los Angeles, you're on Ghost to Ghost, Timothy.
Happy Halloween, Mr. President.
Well, hello there, Ambassador. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Taking how are you, sir?
This is our running joke in case someone's trying to figure out what are we talking about.
Well, it's not a joke when I'm talking about this.
Well,
Mr.
That's
President.
True. Yeah. That's true. You never know.
The story I want to talk to you about is, it's not really a spooky or evil or bad story. What happened was that I was at my friend's garage. He does smog testing, smog checks.
That's right. You got to do that in California.
Right. So I was sitting down at the table, at his desk, and then, playing with his computer, his laptop. When I was looking down, I saw this man walking towards me. I looked up, and he was pulling a suitcase. I looked at him, and he said, "Oh," I said, "Hi, how you doing?" He goes, "Well, I'm doing all right. You're kind of tired." And then He said that, sort of mumbled that, yeah, this used to be, I forgot what he said. I guess it used to be a bar or something, because he said, yeah, this place used to be bar or whatever. And I said, well, it's a pest-only place now. And he goes, yeah. And I looked at him, and he was like, well, I got to go. And I said, okay, take care, sir. Then I looked down. And he was walking out. I was making sure that he was leaving because I didn't want him to get hurt because there's stuff all over the place. So he went around, went out the garage, made a left. Then I said, oh, my God, I look like Mr. Alvarado. So I looked up, put the computer down, ran out the garage, made a left. Cause he was walking slowly. He was trudging. You know, he was walking, you know, slowly.
Still there. You could still see him. Yeah.
And I went around the corner and then stopped the garage. He was gone. Mr. Alvarado died about a year ago.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I checked, you know, I walked, went down the block for a little bit to make sure that, you know, he didn't go inside, you know, like businesses or whatever, but the businesses were closed.
That's weird, Tim.
And it was like, he looked, seemed kind of sad, kind of tired. And I was kind of bummed out, too, because I just didn't think much about it. But it came to me that it was Mr. Alvarado because...
Knowing you, you would have talked to him if you were able to catch up with him again, had he still been around there.
Oh, most definitely, because I wanted to talk to him and see how he was doing. Because he treated me like a son. He would open up his home, his wife, and his kids, because his kids and I were college friends. And I'll say, hey, stay for dinner. Okay.
You might have brought us a real ghost to put on the show. Darn.
I would have, definitely.
All right, Timothy, have a good weekend.
Thank you, too, Mr. President. Bye-bye.
Let's go to West of the Rockies. Joanna, what's your story?
Hi, George.
Hi.
My family and I moved to Hope Mills, North Carolina, into a home. It wasn't an old spooky home or anything like that. And everything seemed fine when we first moved in, other than our golden retriever would not come into my bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And he had always slept with me since he was a puppy. I got him when he was around 8 weeks old.
Oh, that's adorable.
But he would not come into my bedroom. He would come as far as my door, and he would stand there and whimper and whine, wag his tail, but he wouldn't come in. It was like, I want to come in, but I can't.
Yeah, I'm used to it, but I'm not coming in.
Right, and a few times I would grab him by the collar and try to pull him in and tell him, you know, it's okay, come on in. And he, as soon as I let go, he would turn around and fly like a rocket out of the room. He just would not stay in there. One time in particular, I remember he actually did come in, but he was low to the ground, kind of like belly crawling into the room, did not stay long, and took off again. It was like he really wanted to be in there with me, but he just couldn't be in that room. And so my ex-husband was a truck driver, and me and the children were alone quite often. And so I used to leave the hall light on for my little girl. She was about 5 at the time.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And she would, you know, have a nightmare or whatever and want to come sleep with me. So I would leave my hall light on. Well, one night I woke up, and I thought I saw her standing there in the doorway, and she looked sad. And I thought, well, she's had a bad dream. So I pulled the covers back, patted the bed. She smiled and came and got in bed. And if I maybe had been fully awake or something, I would have realized I didn't actually feel her get into the bed. But the next morning I woke up and I started to roll over. I felt her laying against my back, and I remembered her getting in bed with me. So I just sat up to, you know, I didn't want to roll over on top of her. So I sat up and I went to look down beside me, and there was no one there. And I just, it startled me so bad. And then it hit me. The little girl I saw had long blonde hair and was wearing a nightgown that had little pink roses all over it.
Uh-huh.
My daughter has brown hair, and she has never owned a nightgown, anything like that. I don't know what I invited into bed with me. I know it was a ghost, but I just, there's so many things happened in that house.
That's amazing. And the dog picked up on all that.
Right, yeah.
Unbelievable.
But my daughter experienced things, and my ex-husband, he never believed us until he had an experience himself. But
and they see, and that's why he's now the ex.
Oh.
All right, thanks, Joanna. You have a good Halloween. What's left of it?
Thank you. You too.
All right, let's go east of the Rockies. Josh in Minnesota. Welcome to Coast on Ghost Coast, or the other way around. Hey, Josh.
Hi.
Go ahead, Josh. What's your story?
Hi, Josh. My story takes place in a bar.
Okay.
I've worked at this bar for about 5 years now. And this bar is...
You're the bartender there? What do you do there?
Well, I cook, I bartend.
Cook everything. Whatever you have to do, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I've worked there for, like I said, 5 years. And I know the owners pretty well. And so the one day I was there with the owner, and she had her two granddaughters with her.
Okay.
And the one is 4, and the other one's about 6. And the 6-year-old was off playing in one of the other rooms, and Glenda, the owner, and I were standing in the kitchen, and she had to go get something out of the back room, and she took the 4-year-old with her. Well, not more than 30 seconds later, she comes back with the granddaughter, and she says, "Josh, take Alyssa and go back into the beer room and ask her about the man." And so I go back in the back room with her, and I go, "What man?" And she goes, "That man over there." And she points over towards the corner. And I go, "I don't see any man." She goes, "He's right there." And so about this time, I'm wondering, what is she seeing? Who is she seeing?
Right.
And
why can't I see him?
Yeah. And I'm like, "What's he look like?" She's like, "He's big." And I go, "Well, is he nice?" She goes, "No."
Huh.
And about the only thing that me and Glenda could come up with was that it was one of the previous bar owners, because this bar is pretty old. It's been around.
Did the guy die in there?
I've heard stories that he has, and I've heard other people say he hasn't. He didn't, I should say. And I've seen pictures of the previous bar owner, and people that knew him said he wasn't very nice. He was kind of mean. And
that's
owner
fascinating.
Before him was actually very nice and really liked kids. So we figured it was just a one. And oddly enough, his name is George.
I love kids. I'm a good guy. All right. Thanks, Josh. Next up, let's go to Ramon in Davenport, Iowa. Hey, Ramon.
Hey, George. I got a real good ghost story. It pertains to my cousin that died in the early 80s.
All right.
And his niece. And he's still sticking around. The day he was buried, he came and visited by, you know, his little niece. He calls her Fleabag. And when I and she hated it. Mean old Fleabag. She, you know, she's pretty.
I don't blame her.
She talks good. But she said, she told her grandma, my aunt, you know, when my aunt asked her who she was talking to, she said, "Uncle." My aunt goes, "Well, what'd he say?" She goes, "He go bye-bye. He go bye-bye. He come play, he kiss, he go bye-bye." So, and then finally, when I got to see her just recently, and she's all grown up, I asked her, I said, "Have you seen him in your dreams in a, like one of those old robes that priests would wear with the hood?" And she said, "Yeah, up until right before she turned 18, because, you know, I saw his, you know, that image on a bridge, like that little house on the prairie, you know, wooden bridge that's open on the side with the roof."
Right, right.
"He would never let me cross it because he told me once I crossed it, I would not come back. And I was never able to see his hood or his face because it was under his hood. This is the only time I'll see his face is when I cross over. Now, I have a 2-year-old, and ever since he was born, he's been talking up a storm, even as a, you know, as a newborn. And I just put two together. The other day, I realized everything that he puts on has to have a hood to put over his head, and he's looking up, and he's talking.
And he sees it.
And I go, is it because of the Alfredo? He just points and goes, Alec. His favorite cousin that's alive right now is Alec. But he'll point up and go, Alec. I know it's my cousin Alfredo.
I love it. Thanks for that story. Let's go to you, Sherry, in Naples, Florida, before the break. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, George. How are you tonight?
Good. Not bad. Happy Halloween.
Oh, happy Halloween to you, too. I love your show.
Thanks. So you got a good one for us here?
I do. I have a very interesting one.
Okay.
I was getting ready to run my first triathlon. I woke up nice and early. It was around 4 in the morning, and there was nobody home. My husband was at work. And I heard three distinct knocks just out of the blue. And I was sitting at my kitchen counter, and my dog starts barking. I have three cats. All the cats went crazy. They're all running around the house. My bird starts flapping wildly. And then I heard what sounded like a death rattle. And I work in law enforcement, so I've kind of heard that noise before, when, you know, somebody's last breath with that weird noise. I called my husband. I was all freaked out. I was telling him, you know, Rob, somebody died. I heard a death rattle in the house. He's like, no, it couldn't have been. It must be your imagination. Well, 4 o'clock that evening, I get a phone call from my ex-boyfriend's sister that he died in a tragic car accident.
Oh, my.
And I think it was him telling me that he had passed on.
And when you said, Sherry, you hear this death rattle, what does it sound like?
It was just like a real raspy breath that just didn't sound good. And it was my sister. I called her to tell her what happened. And she said she woke up. He was a smoker. She smelled smoke at her house, like somebody was smoking cigarettes in her house.
That's a great story.
And I think he was telling us that he had passed on.
You are now a believer in the other side, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I always have been, but that one really, it was creepy.
All right. Thanks for that, Sherry. I want to take just a moment to tell you about the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference, and then we'll come right back for more ghost-to-ghost stories. Pretty chilling, by the way. It's going to be at the Tuscany Suites Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, Friday, November 7th through Sunday, November 9th. I will be there Friday, November 7th. You can register for this event at the UFOconference.com website. The meet and greet, which I will attend, will be Friday, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. So go ahead and register and come on by. And then I've got to skedaddle out of there because we've got a live program Friday night at our KXNT studios in Las Vegas. So I'm looking forward to that. It's the 2008 UFO Crash Retrieval Conference put on by the Woods, and they are doing a remarkable job. Just some of the guests: Jim Mars, Nick Pope, Linda Moulton Howe will be with me, Richard Dolan, Stephen Bassett, Nicholas Redfern, Dr. Robert Wood, John Alexander, Don Schmidt, Kevin Randall, you name it. George Knapp will be the keynote speaker on Saturday night. I'll be back in a moment with more of your ghost-to-ghost calls on Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, on this weekend's Coast to Coast, we'll have Ian Punnett on Saturday and the first Sunday of the month. I'll be doing the program here as well. We'll be right back in just a moment. Ghost to Ghost continues on Coast to Coast AM.
This is Dr. Bruce Goldberg, and this is my ghost story. This is a true story. An elderly patient came to my office several years ago, just a week before Christmas, reporting a very major psychic attack. She would wake up every night at 3 a.m. This is the most common time for a demonic entity to attack people. And she would see a hideous gargoyle with glaring green eyes at the foot of her bed. I began working with her with psychic protection techniques and told her that this lower astral entity could be removed if all she did was move one of her fingers during the encounter. On Christmas Eve, she again was awakened at 3 a.m. and saw this demonic gargoyle-like entity. It was at the foot of her bed and slowly crept up to her body inch by inch and placed its scaly long fingers around her throat and began to strangle her. She panicked. All she could hear were these weird noises, such as the rattling of chains, high-pitched screams. She could smell the odor of rotten eggs, and worse, the smell of burning flesh. Her bed now lifted off the ground and began to tip to the left and to the right. Her whole body shook with terror. She started to pray in her mind, and she remembered what I said about moving her fingers, and she slowly moved the pinky of her right hand. Suddenly, this evil being dematerialized before her eyes. Thank goodness she never saw this demon again.
Ha, 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 Bruce, you're good. West of the Rockies, let's go to Dan and Kathy. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello, you two.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. So you've got something for us, huh?
Oh, yeah. We got more than we bargained for. We went on the Ghosts and Legends tour at the Queen Mary. We were one of the first tours that, when they first started it.
Okay. Cause I've been on that, too. I love that.
I love it. I had a few encounters on it. Anyway, the main thing I'm going to talk about is the main one, which is after we went through the tour and we got down into the belly of the Queen Mary, way down underwater.
In the boiler room.
Down to the front boiler room.
It's creepy down there.
It's this huge room, and it's kind of like being in a cave. It's so huge. And the tour guide was using her spotlight, her little flashlight, pointing out different things and stuff, and I was kind of not quite paying attention to her. And I was kind of like about 10 feet away from everybody. And just all of a sudden, I got this real bad, like somebody, like ice, hitting up the back, on the back, and it went up right through the middle of my body. And all of a sudden, my T-shirt hit me in the face. Just flipped up in front of me in the face, and I started getting poked, and my T-shirt was being pulled around and stuff. And I'm like yelling, hey, quit that. And I left a few F-bombs go, you know. And the rest of the people on the tour, they were like looking at me like I was possessed, and they started backing away, you know, real slowly. And they were pulling on my shirt, whatever it was pulling on my shirt and poking me. And my wife, I'll let her take over from here on that one.
Okay. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, I thought that Dan was fooling around, so I went over to see what was happening, if this was some sort of trick or special effect. And I felt around. He didn't have any magnets or tape. There's no string. There's no wind. No lasers. And when I looked at him and he was holding his arms, hands, and fingers, you know, just steady, trying to keep his shirt down, not moving them, but, you know, they were against his chest, so his T-shirt wouldn't go up above his head. I saw the imprints of invisible thumbs and fingers flipping his shirt upward and pulling on it.
Yeah, and so I'm like twisting around still, you know, I'm going, ow, ow, let go. And it was kind of funny because, I mean, It was kind of painful, but kind of funny at the same time, and everybody was like looking at us, you know, and the lady, I guess, the tour guide kind of got tired of it. I guess she goes, "Oh, that's just John. He likes blondes."
John the ghost
said it.
I love it. When I was out there, I saw some strange stuff too,
and I
wasn't so sure what they were.
And the rest of it, I got this really cold feeling on the side of my head, and I heard in my ear, "I'm not John," and then the whole group heard footsteps walking away from the group.
As they stood still,
everybody,
they were gawking.
Everybody was standing still, looking at me still, and you hear footsteps walking away. Everybody heard the footsteps. So, go on it.
Would you take that tour again?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Thanks. Let's go to Mary. You are on Coast to Coast with Ghost to Ghost. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
Well, what I have to tell you is a frightening story. It's the story of my life, and my life has been a bit of a puzzle to me, and I've had to work to kind of figure it out. And
what's going on?
Well, there were ghosts involved in my childhood. I was about 3 years old and 58, and I had three older sisters, and we lived in a ranch house, and I was sitting at breakfast, I was 3 years old, and my sisters were crying again to my mother once again about the what they had heard. They were woken in the night upstairs, and they heard the piano playing down in the basement, a ghastly, horrible tune. And as much as they didn't want to go down there, they were forced to go down there as if in a trance. And they had the same experience at least four or five times, you know, but not on the same night. But they would get to about the sixth step, and the music would just get louder and louder, and they knew that the person who was playing it was a man named Bloody Bones. And he was exactly that. He did not have skin.
Bloody bones?
Yes, and my sister would tell me about him on the stairs when I was three, that he lived downstairs and that he stole my mother's peas, canned peas, and that he also made just one to eat children. And so when they would get to the sixth step, of a woman in white would stop them and turn them around and walk them back to bed. And she had a long white dress on, and from what they told me, she looked a lot like Grace Kelly when she got married. And I had to live with that, and my sister taught me how to get up the stairs fast if anything was going on or chairs were rocking when they shouldn't. You should act as though you don't know what's going on, but get the heck out of there. So I was playing house down there one morning, and the chair started to rock, and I acted like I didn't see what was happening, and I grabbed my baby, and I got up those stairs within 10 seconds. And so we just sort of lived with that, and our parents told them that they were just having sleepwalking problems and that they were just dreaming and it didn't really happen. So then a few years later when they hit puberty, on Easter Sunday night, they had a bedroom down in the basement. By then, my father had finished various rooms down there. And they were laying in bed talking and making fun of people and joking, and suddenly the room became really cold, and we had a collie dog named Molly that was down there with her.
She felt it, didn't she?
Yeah, and she just froze up and didn't do anything, and in the mirror in the room, a pinpoint of light started small, and then it grew really large, and then my sister Joy, she felt this entity get on top of her, and she had a necklace that she wore all the time from some friends of my parents, Margie and Al.
Yeah.
And they and it had a little statue of Mary on it, and this thing pressed down with its index finger into the hollow of her throat, Mary, and she, all she could do was try to cry out to God for it to be gone.
Well, that helps. That helps.
Hi, this is Marianne Winkowski, the Ghostbuster, and have I got a story for you. I hardly ever tell scary stories because they're, for me, far and few between. But in our area of Cleveland, many, many years ago, we had a lot of mobsters around here, and a lot of them were killed. And I got called to a neighborhood by a family that had definitely earthbound activity in the house. So I went in, and this was, used to be one of those really beautiful neighborhoods, but, you know, lacking in people not taking care of the houses. It was sort of gotten run down. So I get there and walked in, and it was a lady in a wheelchair. She's the lady that owned the house. Her son and daughter-in-law and two of their children lived with her, and another son lived with her. And this is how dilapidated this house was, that when I walked in, they said, be careful that you don't hit your head on the ceiling. The rain has, you know, loosened everything, and it's sort of falling around us. Okay, come in, sit around the table, talk about the two ghosts that are there. Typical, normal, nice family, little dysfunctional, okay. And it's gotten to the point over the years that if there's any ghosts in a house, they usually come to the room that I'm sitting in. Well, there was a ghost down the basement that just had no intentions of coming upstairs. So I looked at the lady in the wheelchair, and of course there's no way she's going to go down the basement steps with me. And I looked at her two sons in their 40s, and I said, well, I need to go down the basement. And they stared at each other, and they stared at me, and they said, oh, nobody goes in the basement. And I said, well, if you want this ghost gone, I need to go to the basement. And the one son said, well, it's off the kitchen. And I thought, great. So I walk in the kitchen, and they said, it's the door that has the lock on it. And it was one of those old skeleton keys in the lock. And I said, why do you have this door locked? And they just said, we need to keep that door locked. So this one son is with me in the kitchen, and he says, okay, he says, now when you turn on the switch, there's only one light bulb on down there. If you walk into the basement farther and you sort of wave your hands in the air, you'll run across a string that's attached to another light. I said, okay. And he says, and be very careful because there's stuff piled everywhere. I said, okay. And he says, and I have to lock the door behind you. I said, what? And he says, yeah. He says, see, there's like really big rats down there, and we don't want them up here in this part of the house. I said, rats. And he said, yeah. He says, but normally they only come out at night. So he unlocks this door, lets me start down it, and literally locks the door behind me. I'm not afraid of ghosts. I don't do rats. So I'm sort of watching and looking around to see where these rats are at. Pitch black. I'm waving my arms around like a goof. I finally find this string and pull it, and it must be like a 25-watt bulb in this thing. Junk everywhere, and musty, moldy, smelly, and I look right in front of me, and about 10 feet in front of me, there's one of those old fruit cellar doors that are made out of plank wood, and there's a big bullseye on it, and there's bullet holes in this door, and I'm thinking, I wonder if one of the old mafia people that used to live in this area died down here. Whoever this man was inside that room. So I'm walking toward that room, and there's a lasp on it, so I open that lasp up, and I go to pull that door open. It makes that crazy creak noise, you know, screeching noise. Either the floor had come up or the wood did one of those things that it warps or something, but the door wouldn't open all the way. It got stuck like on the concrete step. And foolish me, instead of trying to pull with all my weight and open this door, I just opened it enough where I stuck my head in to see what was going on, to see if I could see anything. And son of a gun, didn't that ghost nail me? He scratched me right on the side of my neck. So I got a little angry about it. Remember, you can't give him energy, so I sort of stayed calm but angry on the inside. And I finally, you know, found out who he was, and he had worked or been involved with some mob in the 1930s or the 40s, and he had been killed down there. And so I released him, and I went up the steps, and I had to knock to let them, you know, let me come back into the kitchen. And I didn't say anything about the scratch on my neck, but there was a roll of paper towels on this thing, so I wet the paper towels, and I just sort of held them to my neck where I'd gotten scratched. And I sat back down in the dining room around the table, and I told them who the gangster was and when he had died, and that he had died in that house. And did they know the history of the house? And they had not. And so I finally take the wet paper towel down off my neck, and I don't know, people are sort of funny. I think that I would be upset to know that a gangster was, you know, wiped out in my basement, but they started screaming, oh, my God, rats must have scratched you. Did rats jump on you downstairs? So that's my Halloween story. It's a little bit different, a little bit scary, and, you know, it's just one of those happy Halloween things.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light.
For Tom Danheiser, who executive produced this year's Ghost to Ghost, Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.